All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Mount Olive, and I'm so glad you joined us today as we continue in our Kingdom series. I'm excited that you joined us today because today we're going to answer the question, a really, really important question, which is, where is the kingdom? Where is the kingdom? I mean, Jesus taught a lot about the kingdom, and we've often thought about the kingdom. Jesus taught about what it is and what it looks like, and we're going to get to the what question throughout the series. But before we get to what the kingdom is, I wanted to just dive into this very important question. Where is it? Where is the kingdom? And I think the question where also leads to another question, which undoubtedly you've thought about. When will the kingdom come? Right? When will the kingdom come? Now, you might have thought of that question in a different way. Not maybe when will the kingdom come, but when will the end come, right? Did some research a few years ago, and in the 20th century, every decade, there were just more and more movies and shows coming out about the apocalypse, about the end of the world. And there's this growing intrigue and interest in our culture and society about how the world will end. And I'm sure you've seen some of those movies, right? Whether it's an asteroid or aliens or a nuclear war or something else, right? We get too close to the sun and we get melted, but somehow the world's going to come to an end. And how's the world going to come to an end? When will the kingdom come? Because here's what we agree on as followers of Jesus. We don't all agree as to how it will all take place, how the end of the world will come, but we are in agreement as to what happens after the end. And that is, a kingdom comes. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 says this. John had a revelation, the apostle John. He said, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away." So what he's saying is, the end came, however, you know, and we had religious ideas to how the end will come, and the ideas just go even wilder. But whatever it is, after the end, after the old heavens and the old earth have passed away, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth and a new kingdom. Listen to what he says two verses later. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God.'" That sounds to me like the kingdom reign of God with humanity. There will be, after the end, in the new heavens and new earth, there will be a kingdom reign of God in its fullness. So what are we to do? Well, Jesus, in the most famous prayer in the last 2,000 years that's been prayed around the world and in history, invited us to pray this regarding the kingdom. In this Lord's Prayer, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come." Now, I don't know about you, but I have some hesitations about praying that prayer. Because if I'm praying that prayer, and that means I should be praying that I want the end of the world to come so that God's kingdom can come. I don't know about you, but to me, that's a bit of a scary prayer. I don't know if I want the end of the world to come. Not in my lifetime, right? So I don't know if, is that what Jesus is meaning? And secondly, if Jesus is meaning we're to pray your kingdom come, as in after the end of the world, the kingdom come, then there's been a lot of disappointed prayers over the last 2,000 years. Unfulfilled prayers, right? Because God's kingdom, at least that version of God's kingdom, has not yet come. So what does it mean when Jesus invited us to pray, your kingdom come? Specifically, where is the kingdom? And secondly, when will it come? When will God's kingdom come? Well, Jesus actually interacts with both these questions in a conversation he had. So if you have your Bibles, go to Luke chapter 17. Gospel of Luke chapter 17. We're going to start in verse 20. Answer these questions. Where is the kingdom and when will the kingdom come? We find that once, on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, see, Jesus came preaching the kingdom, right? And the Pharisees, the religious leaders, were really curious about figuring out when the kingdom would come. So they come to Jesus, who keeps preaching about the kingdom, and they're like, "Okay, you seem to have an inside scoop on the kingdom. When will it come?" And listen to Jesus' response. It's so interesting. Jesus replied, the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, here it is, or there it is. In essence, Jesus is saying, the coming kingdom of God is not something that can be observed in the sense of you can't bring it about through your careful observation. See, the religious leaders had a desire for the coming of the kingdom because in the first century, the Roman Empire ruled over the Jewish nation, right? They were under the tyranny of Rome. And so the religious and all the Jewish people at the time were longing for the kingdom of God to show up, specifically for their Messiah to show up, to come and raise a political kingdom that would overthrow the Roman Empire, give them independence and freedom, and then they would become like a world superpower to bring about the golden age of the Jewish nation like it was back when David was king and Solomon was king. And so there was a lot of interest about the coming of the Messiah, and many of the religious leaders in the first century had this thought, if we just follow the law of Moses that God gave us, if we just follow it meticulously, and we just pursue God and we get the nation to follow God, then the Messiah will come. In a way, through our careful observation, we'll be able to bring the Messiah. And Jesus is like, no. The coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed in the sense of you can bring it about through careful observation. And secondly, he says, nor will people say, here it is or there it is. As though the kingdom and the coming kingdom of God is this secret that if you kind of really look into it, you'll find it. You'll be like, hey, we found it. We found the kingdom. Not at all. Why? Jesus goes on. Because the kingdom of God is in your midst. The kingdom of God is already here. You can't bring it about through your careful observation, and it's not a secret. It's not for a select few. The kingdom of God is already among you. The kingdom is here. What Jesus is showing us is this. The coming of the kingdom of God is not a secret. It is present, and it is public in the person of Jesus. The coming of the kingdom is public and it's present in the person of Jesus. When Jesus showed up, he said, the kingdom has just come because the kingdom has arrived. And the religious leaders and the Pharisees could not see the kingdom of God because they were not ready or willing to recognize its king. The Pharisees and religious leaders were not able to see God's kingdom because they were not willing to recognize the king of the kingdom. In fact, it was this reality, recognition of the king, that was both the message of Jesus and John the Baptist when he came to prepare the way for the Messiah. They had a very similar message. We can find it, John was the forerunner to the Messiah, John the Baptist, the crazy guy, you know, lived in the desert. This was his message, Matthew 3, verse 2. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And then one chapter later, Jesus steps onto the scene of doing his public ministry, and guess what he starts preaching? Something very similar. In fact, it's so similar, you're going to say, that's the exact same thing, because it is. In Matthew chapter 4, 17, Jesus now speaking says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Now, most of us in English, when we hear the word repent, we have this idea that that means feel bad about all the bad things you've done. Repent, just feel bad. Now, repentance might include some remorse, but it does not mean feel bad. Repentance literally means change your mind, change the direction and the trajectory of your life. And when John the Baptist came preaching, he said, repent. You've been living to your own ideas and your own kingdom. You've been thinking God's kingdom is something like this or that. But repent. Change your mind because the kingdom of heaven has come near. In some of your translations, it'll say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's kind of like if you had a guest in your house and you're like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to give you a tour of the house. And here's the living room. It's like, it's here at hand. It's near. It's right here. That's what John was saying. Hey, repent. Change your mind. Stop living your own direction. The kingdom of God, it's right here. And then Jesus showed up and said, repent. Change your mind. Change the trajectory of your life. The kingdom of heaven is here. And I think when Jesus was saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, he's like, it's here. It's present and public in me. Will you accept the king of the kingdom? So Jesus says, the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed. It's not something you can bring about. Nor will people say, here it is, or there it is, like it's some sort of secret. Why? Because the kingdom of God is in your midst. Will you accept the coming of the kingdom? In Matthew chapter 12, a situation happens where a demon-possessed person and his possession showed up. He was mute, and I think he was deaf. You check it out and tell me if I'm wrong. He was a demon-possessed man, and he was brought to Jesus, and Jesus healed him. And the religious leaders who would not accept the coming of the king said, well, how did you just heal this guy? And so they're like, well, you must have healed him by the power of Beelzebub, which is like the power of Satan. And Jesus is like, wait, the demons and Satan are on the same team. If I cast out the demons by the power of Satan, then the kingdom of Satan is divided. It can't stand. So it can't be the power of Satan. But if I just healed this man by the power of the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. In essence, he says, I healed him by the power of God. Now you have to come face to face with the kingdom of God and me as the king. And they were not willing to accept the king of the kingdom. See, the coming of the kingdom is not a secret. It's present and public in the person of Jesus. It's already here. There's no like, it's a secret, you got to go over here to find it. Jesus showed up for all to see, for all to receive who would accept him as their king. And Jesus says to the religious leaders, well, listen to what he says in Matthew 21. He said to the religious leaders, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. That never won him any brownie points with the religious leaders. Because the prostitutes and the tax collectors were on the bottom rung of the spiritual ladder. I mean, if there was like a rung underneath the ladder, that's where the prostitutes and tax collectors lived. The religious, the Pharisees, I mean, it was their day job to study the scriptures and figure out the law and to live it. I mean, they were at the top of the ladder, and now Jesus is saying, wait, those at the bottom are entering the kingdom ahead of us? Ahead of those that are so religious? How does this make sense? Listen to what he says. For John, that's John the Baptist, the guy that preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, which literally means the way that's right, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes, they did. They believed John. And even after you saw all this, you did not repent and believe him. John came preaching the way of rightness. What was his message? Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of heaven is near. The tax collectors and prostitutes, they believe John. They're like, we got to change the direction of our trajectory of our lives. We got to change our minds about the kingdom. And they believed him, and he spoke about who? Jesus. But the religious leaders refused to believe John and repent. And then Jesus says, and even after you saw all this, and I don't know again if Jesus is saying, even after you saw all this, the embodiment of the kingdom of God, even after you saw all the miracles and all the power that I displayed coming from God, you still will not believe. You won't repent. You won't change your mind and accept the King of the kingdom. The kingdom of God's already here. The question is, what will you do with the King? What will you do with the King? So Jesus tells him, the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed. With your careful observation, you can bring it about. And nor will people say, here it is or there it is, like it's some sort of secret, and only a few people find it. The kingdom of God is in your midst. The kingdom of God is not a secret. It's available for all who will seek. And as you read the New Testament, the Gospels, the story of Jesus, there are all kinds of people who sought, who reached out and took hold of the kingdom. A foreign mother whose daughter was sick, outside of the nation of Israel, outside of the chosen people of God, and yet she reached out in faith, and Jesus says, you can experience the kingdom, and healed the daughter. A father whose son was possessed, and the father said, I believe, help me in my unbelief. I'm struggling to believe. And Jesus says, you can, because of your faith, take part of the kingdom. And he experienced the kingdom of God. And lepers, one of whom, at least one of whom, was a Samaritan. Again, a half-breed, outside the nation, the kingdom people of God. And yet he reached out in faith and said, Jesus, would you heal us? And because of his faith, because he sought the kingdom, he experienced the kingdom. And friends who had a paralytic went up onto a rooftop and dropped lightly their paralytic's friend through the roof in front of Jesus. And because they reached out, they sought the kingdom, for all who seek will find. Because they reached out to the kingdom, it wasn't a secret. Jesus was right there. The kingdom had just shown up. Because they, in their faith, reached out for the kingdom, Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. And the paralytic experienced the kingdom of heaven. And then Jesus said, oh, and just to prove that I am who I am and I can actually forgive your sins, why don't you just stand up and take your mat and walk home? Because the power of God is in me. And the kingdom of God has just appeared. The kingdom of God is not a secret. It's already here, and it showed up in the person of Jesus. What will you do with the King? But Jesus isn't finished teaching about the kingdom. It's kind of like two sides to one coin. Listen to what he says next, back to our text. Then he said to his disciples, the time is coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it. Notice the change of who he's talking to. The audience has changed. Before, he was talking to the Pharisees who came with a question, hey, where's the kingdom? And Jesus is like, it's right here. You just won't accept it. But now he changes his conversation. The audience now are those who have already received the kingdom. They've already accepted Jesus as Messiah. They've already accepted Jesus as their king. And now he has a different conversation because they're already in the kingdom. And Jesus says, oh, and by the way, you disciples who are spending time with me, there's a time coming when you're going to long to see one of the days of the Son of Man. The Son of Man is another title for Jesus. So I'm here with you. A day's coming when you're going to wish I was here with you. What's he talking about? Well, from here, he was going to die on the cross for the sin of the world. But God would raise him from the dead, and not only raise him from the dead, where he would conquer sin and death, not only for himself, but for all who would believe in him. But he would ascend to heaven, and as he's ascended to heaven, Jesus says, in those days, the days we live in now, there's going to be times when you long to see the Son of Man, but you will not see him. Because I'm going to be in heaven, but I'm coming back, right? But listen to what Jesus says next. In those days, which is the days we're living in, right? Jesus is physically not here. He's in heaven, the Father's right hand. Jesus says, in those days, in our days, people will tell you, there he is, or here he is. Do not go running off after them. Does that sound familiar? So the first time Jesus came, what did Jesus say? When people say, there he is, or here he is, like it's some sort of secret, and by your careful observation, you can kind of bring about the Messiah, he says, don't pay attention to that, and don't go chasing after that, because the coming of the kingdom will be public and present, just as it is now. And now Jesus says, in the next version of my coming, the next time I come back, the same thing's going to happen. And people around the world are going to say, hey, here he is, or there he is, or with our careful observation, maybe if we just look at the signs of the times, we can bring the coming of the Messiah. And Jesus says, nah, don't go running after them. Why? The same reason he said earlier. The coming of the kingdom is not a secret. It's not for a select few. It's present and it's public in the person of Jesus. Listen to what Jesus says. For the Son of Man in his day, when he comes back the second time, will be like the lightning which flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other. Meaning, you won't miss it. The coming of the kingdom of heaven, when Jesus comes back, it's not like, oh, you might miss it, so we got to figure out the signs of the time, so we're ready. No. It's going to be public, and everyone's going to see it. Like if you're sitting down outside and lightning flashes across the sky, everybody sees it. That's what he says, the exact same thing as the first time he came. Those who are ready for the king won't miss the coming of the kingdom. Those who are willing to accept the king won't miss the coming of the kingdom. But Jesus goes on. But first, he, that's me, the Son of Man, first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation, pointing to his eventual death on a cross for our sin, for the sin of the world. So back to our question. Where is the kingdom? And Jesus says, it might not be what you thought at first. The kingdom of God is already in your midst. The kingdom of heaven is already here. It came in the coming and the person of Jesus. Jesus inaugurated his kingdom on earth. The kingdom is in your midst. God is not far from any of you. Because wherever you are, there God is. God is not far from any of you. His kingdom is not far from any of you. The question is, will you step in? Will you receive the kingdom by accepting the king? There might be another way that you may not be far from the kingdom. You know, our culture, in the Western culture, there's a lot of people that agree with Jesus on a lot of fronts. You know, maybe you're not a follower of Jesus yet, and you're kind of, I'm not sure about this whole faith thing, but there's some things about Jesus you really like his care and concern and compassion for the poor and the down and out, his servant leadership. You go to any non-religious talk on leadership, and undoubtedly at some point they're going to talk about servant leadership. Guess where they got that from? Jesus. And so in a lot of ways, many people in our culture already agree with Jesus. And 2,000 years ago, there was a religious leader who came to Jesus, and he asked Jesus, he said, okay, Jesus, out of the commandments, like, what's the most important one? Because there's 613 commandments we're supposed to follow, and, you know, I might miss a few, so what are, like, the ones I should really be paying attention to? And Jesus does something interesting. He says, it's kind of a two-for-one deal. I think Jesus was Mennonite. I'm not sure. It's kind of like a two-for-one deal. Like, there's one, but it's kind of tied to the second. You can't separate them. He says, the greatest commandment is this. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the piece you can't separate, because it's a two-for-one, is love your neighbor as yourself. And the religious leader responded to Jesus, I like that. That was good. I agree with that. And Jesus responds to the religious leader by saying, you're not far. you're not far from the kingdom of God. And I think what Jesus means is you may agree with Jesus, and that's a big step in the direction of being in the kingdom of God. But notice he doesn't say you are in the kingdom. Because agreeing with Jesus, as important as that is, what this religious leader needed to do is not only agree, he needed to accept Jesus as his king. And so I don't know where you stand in your whole faith journey, and maybe there's a lot of parts of you that I like the teachings of Jesus. Jesus said some really good things. I want to just tell you, God is where you are. You can't escape him. You're not far from the kingdom. But if you already agree with Jesus, you're so, so close. But agreeing with Jesus doesn't get you in the kingdom. Will you accept him as your king? Will you accept Jesus? Not just think he has some good things to say. The kingdom is in your midst. But there was that other side of the coin, right? Where Jesus said, I'm leaving, and then I'm coming back, and the kingdom's going to come. What's that about? Well, we also believe the kingdom is still coming in its fullest sense. In this way, as we think about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, it's this now and not yet fully reality. The kingdom is now, it's here, and yet there's this peace that we're still waiting for it to come, which is why Jesus says, it's in your midst. And then he says to his disciples, oh, by the way, it's still coming. I'm coming back. And the kingdom's going to come in a fuller sense when I return. So what do we do with the now and not yet fully reality of the kingdom? You know, I think as followers of Jesus, I'm speaking to those of you who are followers of Jesus. If you're not, just consider how close you are maybe to the kingdom and accepting Jesus as your king. But for those of us who are followers of Jesus, I think as we live in this now and not yet fully reality of the kingdom, I think there's ditches on either side that we can fall into that I'd like to bring up because I think the text, you know, leads to this as well. I think one of the ditches that we as followers of Jesus can fall into is I think the ditch that the religious leaders fell into in the first century. And they were so concerned and fixated on the coming kingdom and thought, if we just observe the signs of the times and try to figure it out, we can kind of sneak our way in. We'll get it before anyone else. And almost like if we just, through careful observation, we can bring it about. And I wonder if for some of us followers of Jesus, we can become so fixated on the end, on the end times, on the coming of the kingdom, on the coming of the Messiah, on Jesus' next return. We can be so fixated on it, and we can study all the geopolitical things happening in the world, and we're so fixated, maybe if we observe it, we can kind of figure it out before anyone else does, when he's going to come, that we forget the kingdom's already here. And we miss living in the kingdom that's already here, that Jesus has invited us. Would you just step into the kingdom that's already here? I guarantee you, because Jesus said it, you don't have to chase the here it is or there it is versions of the kingdom's coming, because it will be clear. You won't miss it if you're looking for the king. You will already see it. So why, instead of being fixated on something that's coming and missing what's already here, why not live in the here and now that Jesus has already invited you to live into? I think there's another ditch that we can fall into. And I think in this ditch, as followers of Jesus, we can get so fixated on the kingdom of the world around us right now that we forget the kingdom of heaven is already here. And we're so fixated and invested in our career and our hobbies and our workplaces and pleasure and chasing this and that, our investments, that we're so fixated on the kingdom that's already the worldly kingdom, building our empire, that we miss living in the kingdom that Jesus says, it's already here. Would you live in the kingdom that lasts? So I don't know which ditch maybe you're tempted to fall into. If you're like me, I just fall on both sometimes. And I need a reminder from God's word and a reminder from Jesus. The kingdom's here. And the kingdom is what matters. And the kingdom is what lasts. And I don't need to build my empire or get too worried about what's coming. I get to live in and expand the kingdom of heaven that's already here. How do we prepare for the kingdom that's coming? You can read the parables. I've read the parables that Jesus teaches about when he returns. And I distill the parables of what Jesus says. You know, how do we prepare? Is it like to carefully observe all the signs of the times? I don't think Jesus says a lot of that. When you read the parables, Jesus says, here's how you prepare for the coming kingdom as you live in the kingdom now. Our participating in the kingdom now is what prepares us for the kingdom still coming. Our participating, in fact, let's say that out loud, participating, you say it. Participating. Our participating. You can say it out loud if you want, sure. Our participating, this is an action word, right? It's a verb. It's something we continually do. As we consider being prepared for the coming, the second coming of Jesus, how we prepare, Jesus says, is participate in the kingdom already here. Participate in what I'm already doing in the world to expand my kingdom in this world. So where is the kingdom? And when will the kingdom come? Well, Jesus said, the Son of Man doesn't even know when the kingdom's coming. Only the Father knows. So there's no point in trying to figure that one out anyways. You won't miss it if you're accepting the King. It will be public at the presence of Jesus, just like it was the first time. Where is the kingdom? When will it come? Well, it's already here. And as we participate in the kingdom that's already here, we'll be prepared for the kingdom that's coming in its fullness. Why does all this matter? I think for at least two reasons. The first one is, you don't have to wait. God's kingdom is so good. And what he has prepared for us is so good. Jesus calls it eternal life. Jesus calls it the abundant life. And it's not something that starts later. We've been invited into eternal life, invited into the abundant life. We've been invited into the kingdom and the goodness of God's kingdom now. So you don't have to wait for later. You can step in now. This is why this is so important. The kingdom's already here. Would you step in? But as you know as well as I do, not all things in this world are straight. There's a lot of crooked lines, and there's a lot of mess, and there's a lot of brokenness. And here's why this matters as well. Because although the kingdom is here, we have hope that one day when Jesus returns, he's going to make all the crooked lines straight and all the brokenness healed and all the mess clean. He's going to make all things new. And that's something to be excited about. Not to forget the kingdom's here, but to live participating in it. So I'm prepared when it comes. So I want to ask you, in your life, we're going to dive into what does the character of the kingdom look like? What does it look like to live in? But I want to leave you with this question. How aware of the kingdom of God are you in your life? How aware of the kingdom of God present now and yet still coming are you in your life? Are you just focused on the one coming and Jesus invited you to step in now? Or are you so distracted and invested in building your own kingdom, your own empire, that maybe there's some adjustments needed in your life? Say, God, I want to be aware of the presence of you and your kingdom and live in that kingdom now. I want to invite the worship team up. I'm going to close in prayer, and then we're going to sing a song in response. Father in heaven, our Father and our King. Father, thank you that you have already inaugurated your kingdom in the coming of Jesus. And Father, I pray that each one of us here today would be those who not only agree with Jesus, but we would be those who accept Jesus as our King. Father, we look forward to when you will make all things new. I pray for us as the church, as your people, as those who carry your presence. Father, may you make us more kingdom aware and how we can live out and live in the kingdom in our schools, in our families, in our workplaces, in our businesses, in our hobbies, with our finances, with all of our lives, that we'd be so aware of your kingdom. Make us more aware, Father, of the goodness of your kingdom. Give us strength to step in and live in it. We ask this. And we pray with what Jesus invited us to pray. May your kingdom come. Thanks so much for joining us today. We trust you have been encouraged and challenged in your faith journey. If you're desiring prayer, want more information on our church, want to partner with us, or be involved in any way, please go to our website at mountoliveefc.com. We'll see you next time.